Friday, Terem Ashta Yud Zain of Toshin Ayin Pei, Reb Avram Buchman.
So, a few shayas we have came up over the summer, which we can maybe learn something from. The first shayla, which is in the middle of happening, occurs with two shwagers. We'll call one Boruch, call one Zanvil. And they're going to the Schwer, who lives in Switzerland, for the summer. So Baruch is flying into Basel, and Zanvil is flying to Zurich. So Zanvil says to Baruch, listen, I need a van, you know, a minivan in Zurich for 2 weeks. And the price of rental of a minivan in Zurich is the equivalent of, let's say, 1,000 euros. And if you're flying into Basel, so you can go out the border in Saint-Louis, which is the same airport, rent the car in France, and then drive it to Zurich for me, and then it will only cost you, let's say, 600 euros. I'll save 400 euros. So Paul said, okay, fine, sounds like a good idea. So he's going to rent the car, he's going to go to the airport in Saint-Louis, pick up the car, drive it to Zurich, give it to Zanvil, and show him how he's thrown. Sounds like a very good idea to save money. So if either they're going to way it's going to work is that Zanvil's going to book the whole thing online, and when Baruch goes to the counter, he's going to put on Zanvil as the second driver, and he'll pay the fee for the second driver. So, question is, how many things can go wrong in the story? Because I didn't get part two of the story yet. That was the story. I know this is happening. So there's many, many reasons not to go ahead with this type of arrangement. Start with a few basic ones. So when, it's a very simple, straightforward one. When Baruch goes to pick up the car, he's going to pay for the fees, whatever fees there are, additional fees and the rental. At that point in time, he's putting money, he's lending money on his credit cards, because he's, you know, he's laying out money for his shogger. When's the shogger going to pay him back? So at the end of the rental, when it's over, he's going to pay him back. Now, you have a halvot taking place over here, he's a loan. So obviously, the malva is going to want paid back, cover his losses. You know, I laid out for, let's say, 100 euros, I want paid back 100 euros, I want my loss covered. But he's not actually going to pay the 100 euros back, because his credit card registers in England. So 100 euros is going to be, let's say, 90 UK pounds. So he's going to say to Zanvil, okay, my bill came out to 90 UK pounds. So please give me 90 UK pounds. And Zanvil will say, one second, it was 100 euros, right? I'll give you 100 euros. Any problem? Any difference? Well, there could be a difference, because if, let's say, Brexit happens, doesn't happen, then 100 euros, maybe 90 pounds last week, next week, 90 pounds, maybe 140 euros. So the Malva is going to say to the Loiva, listen, I have on my credit card bill a bill for 90 UK pounds. Please reimburse me 90 UK pounds. And Zanvil, the Loiva, says, one second, it was 100 euro. I'll give you 100 euro. So they're going to have a fight. Now, the first Nakuda is, you have the Matzias? He lent him 90 pounds, which is 100 euro. But in 2 weeks when he pays him back, 90 pounds is 140 euro. So, what's he meant to do? So before you get to how much he owes him, you have to know a problem, that you have a problem before you start, of ribis. Because
in currency, if there was a problem, that would be, say, 90 pounds, 3 weeks later, it's worth 100 pounds.
They are at the moment in France or Switzerland, where the halval happens. They're lending euros or pounds, they don't even know. If you're lending something where it's not fixed, you're doing a saw bisaw. There's two ways to do a loan. You can either loan a currency, but let's say I can lend you over here pounds for pounds. That's not a problem. Or I can lend you a commodity. Let's say I'll lend you gold for gold. There's a problem to lend a commodity due to price fluctuations. So that means if, let's say, I go to my friend, I say, listen, I'm making a chasna, Can I borrow a crate of wine from you? He said, who got you? I need a box. So he gave me a whole box of wine. So I say, I'll pay you back next week, crate of wine. That is osur. Because since the price of wine can fluctuate, that means that the malva and the loiva are speculating on the price of on the wine. Because I'm buying you wine, which is maybe, let's say, £200 for the box of wine. I'm going to pay you back, it could be 240, could be 160. So because it's a commodity and the price fluctuates, you cannot lend a commodity. Because Chazal realized it's a tzad echad ribis. It may come out that what's happening is the loiva borrowed wine worth £200. You're going to pay back £240 to get the same 12 bottles. That's not correct.
If he just borrows half a dozen eggs.
When it comes to Vorim, Kitanim, Ben Shechenim, they are meiko because there's no hakpodo. There's got to be a dover cotton, something very small, minimal. Can I borrow a bottle of oil from my neighbor, cost £1.20? I might be on sale next week, might double the price. It's a dover cotton. It's a dover cotton you can get away with. Once it gets beyond the realm of something which neighbors would normally deal with each other, and it's something you can be moichel. So I said, I didn't say a bottle of wine, I said a crate of wine, because that's already beyond what's normal for neighbors to moichel other. Once you pass that stage, you have a problem of dealing with. There are some heterim, but you've got to know what you're doing. But the passions and stammers are normal. If I want to borrow a commodity, whether it's gold, whether it's a box of wine, anything at all, you have a problem with tzad echa bribis, because the price may rise, and the loiva, the borrower, will end up paying more than he borrowed. It's very negea. Let's say I meet my friend, I'm in Yerushalayim for the summer. And my friend meets me there and says, oh, can you lend me £100? No problem. I lend him £100. Pay me back in England. That's a problem. Because in Eretz Yisrael, pounds are a commodity. I didn't lend him £100. A pound, it was a currency in England, but in Eretz Yisrael it's a commodity. Because you have to go with shekel. You can't go with pounds in Eretz Yisrael. You can't spend them in the shop. And therefore, since £100 is worth, let's say, 450 shekel, when he pays me back, he may have to pay back 500 shekel. That's also a problem, tzadech or bribis. Because he may end up paying more than he borrowed. So whenever you're borrowing something where it's not the currency of the place you are having a problem. You may get into a problem of tzadech or bribis. You may end up paying more than you borrowed. And therefore you have a problem. So that's regular. Before you start, if you are making a halvah, you've got the arhetim, if you have... There are attainments, so I'll how to do it. But the passion is you have a problem. If you are lending or borrowing something which is a commodity, then when you get paid back, you may have a problem of paying more, and therefore you can't do the halva in the first place. So the first problem is that therefore the only way to do it would be that he says, okay, it was £90 or €100, always give me the lower of the two. Because if he always gives the lower of the two, then the only problem is the loiva cannot pay back more than he borrowed. If the loiva pays back the same money he borrowed, it's not a problem. So therefore, if he pays him back only €100, which is what he borrowed, because the bill was €100, that's what it was, he borrowed €100, pay back €100. What may happen then is the fellow will get €100, change it only to £60, he'll have a £30 loss. What can he do? He's stuck. So you say, no problem, I'll give you £30 extra. You can't give it to him. When it comes to ribis, you can't give it even as a present afterwards, because that's ribis. Because the only reason I'm giving it to him is because I caused him a loss. The loan. I borrowed money from him. He had a loss. I'll reimburse you. Can't do that. There's a problem with ribis, because the price has changed over time. It's a problem. That's the problem with so be so. So whenever you're borrowing something, if it's not a currency, it's a problem. So, because they are borrowing euros, pay back in euros. You can't pay back in pounds because that would be a problem of tzadech or bribis. That's the first problem.
Is it really a halva? Because he didn't actually lend him the money. He paid. So now you've got to...
If you ask, I get the point. The other way around it, we'll get to it in a minute. I've got to say as well, it happens, let's say, sometimes someone has to borrow money. I can't borrow my eyes. No, well, I'll give you money, no problem. How much you want? £200. Okay. So I'll go to the ATM machine with my credit card and take out money. So then what happens is, I give the loiva, the borrower, £200. I say, 1 second, I have a 2% fee over here. £4 the bank's charged me to get the £200. Please pay me back £204. Is he allowed to charge the loiva that money or not?
Why not? It's a fee.
So you have to, what's the chiddush? What's a fee? and what's a cost of borrowing. So if he says it's a fee which is not fixed at all to the halal, it's not connected to the loan, that you're allowed to charge. The case of the Gemara is the Schar HaSofer. When the person borrows money, you draw up a shtar, a document to prove the loan, so there's a proof of the loan. Who pays for that? Someone's going to pay for someone to write it up, type it up. So that, the borrower is allowed to pay for. Even though it's really for the Malva's benefit, because the Malva needs the shtar, not the loiva. But nonetheless, since it's a cost of the halva, which the Malva doesn't have to bear, it's not related actually to a time factor. It's a cost of the halva, therefore you can pass that on to the borrower. If, however, he says, listen, I'm borrowing 2%, it costs 2% ATM machine, but they also charge me 1.9%. Interest charges, because I charge interest straight away on the halva, that you can't pass on. Because what I'm doing is the malva, the lender, the malva, the bank, is the malva is borrowing money from the bank at interest, then he's lending that to somebody else. Well, you can't charge your interest to somebody else. Even though it's the cost of the halva, but it's not connected to the fact that I'm lending him the money. I'm lending him money, wants to borrow money. I have a cost, direct cost, it's fine. But anything that's time-related, once it's time-related, it's appreciated, it's increasing over time, that's ready ribis charge. And that you cannot pass on. So in our case, if Baruch, if the guy in San Luis is charging money to his credit card, and he's paying interest straight away because he's carrying a balance, that he cannot pass on, certainly, to his schwager in Zurich. Because it's an interest charge, you cannot pass an interest charge on to the person who's borrowing, even though it's a direct cause, and I don't care about it, it's nothing to do with me. Nonetheless, you can't pass on a charge where there's ribis, where the borrower is going to end up paying more than he received. Even the ATM fee could be a problem. Let's say the borrower says, listen, I need to borrow £180. Fine, I'll take out £200. 20 I'll keep myself, 180 you can have. That's a problem. Because he's paying an ATM fee anyway. So if it's a fixed fee, let's say a £2 ATM charge, fine. But then it's a problem because I'm only saving the ATM fee for my £20 because of the half of 180. Well, then the £180 did not cause the ATM fee because I have to pay the ATM fee anyway. So if you have the fee anyway, then I can't charge the loiva that fee. I can only charge the loiva if the only reason I'm paying the fee is because of the halva. If I'm paying it anyway, I can't tack it on because then I'm being paid back more than I lent. I lent 200, I'm paying at 204. Why charge 180? I lent 180, I'm getting back 184. Why get 184 back? Why? No reason for it. Because the £4 fee was that was the ATM charge. Now, if they charge a percentage, then I could charge a percentage. But I can't charge the whole lot, because then I'm benefiting from the halva. And you cannot benefit from the halva. So, the first problem is the credit card. He's lending him money. How's he going to pay him back? First, the two problems. One is the currency fluctuation. It's a solve-by-solve problem. You're lending a ribis problem. So they have to only get the lower amount. And secondly, the interest and any charges is also, if it's interest charge, he can't charge him that. The fee he could charge him, no more than that. Next problem. So how does the car get from San Luis to Zurich? So, well, the Malv is going to, he's going to drive it there. Now, what happens if something goes wrong on the way? Let's say he's driving the car, and let's say he gets a speeding ticket. So he says, well, listen, you know, you sped, you got to pay the ticket. You know, you can't charge him. You'd have taken the bus otherwise, you'd have taken the train otherwise. You're speeding, you're chayv. Too bad. Let's say someone crashed into him. There's a fee, there's a deductible, he's going to have to pay that. Whose fault is it? He'll say, well, it wasn't my fault, you know, I was driving normally. So, again, if the person driving was not careful, and he's at fault, he's a mazik, nothing to talk about. But let's say he was parked at a traffic light, and the guy behind him wasn't looking and went straight into him. So he says, listen, you know, I was doing you a favor. I rented this car for you, I'm not interested in having this £500 deductible bill, because some idiot went into me. Is he chayv? Is he potter? Well, that's a machleik is mechayv ben numa. We've seen this case a few times, that there's a halacha of meisa machmas melacha. If I borrow something, an item to use, and then something goes wrong with the item, and it comes back damaged. So the fellow who owns the item says, listen, you damaged my item, you got to pay for it. And he says, well, it wasn't my fault, it was faulty. So if the item is faulty, the case of the Gemara is a fellow borrowed a cat, because he had mice. And what happened was, the mice ended up eating the cat. Cat got killed, the mice ate the cat. That's the case of the Gemara, it's brought down the Ramah. They ganged up against it, they ate the cat. So the halacha in that case is a koil moedim, that the borrower is potter. It's a faulty cat. You know, you can't, you know, it was past its best, I don't know what happened, but you can't blame me if the cat got eaten. How about a case where I borrowed an animal and highwaymen came and took it away? So I was completely honest. Can't blame a guy as an honest. But nonetheless, it's not, it wasn't faulty. There's nothing wrong with the car or the animal that the listing came and took it away. So then, whose fault is that? Someone's bad mazel over here. So if I lend someone an item, and it gets taken away, and an oinus happens to it, the Mechaber says that's called Mesa Machas Melacha. The Ramah says, no, it's not. The Ramah says that if the item is not faulty, then the borrower has to take achrayus. So in a case where it was a crash, even so, it's very hard to say, even if you go with the Mechaber, where it's an oinus, it's called a Mesa Machas Melacha, but to say that the driver was not at all at fault, like least him coming, is quite rocha. Because every time there's a crash, you may be 5% at fault, he's 95%, but once you're a bit at fault, you don't have meisam lachon anymore. So once there's a crash going on, the chai is going to have to pay. He's going to have the hayhesed. And he can't say to the shogar, listen, what do you want me to do? You know, they'll have a fight about it. He wants to be nice, he'll pay him half. There's going to be an argument about it. It happens rather sometimes you have four people in the car and the driver speeds and he gets caught speeding. So he says, listen guys, you know, I'm speeding for you, you know, everyone pay towards the ticket. Do they have to or not? So there's Taka and Mechaber, but there's a Ramah and Simon Kufa involved about Shutfin. He has a similar case. He says, if you have a Shutif, he says, "Im kibel esik." Let's say someone has an esik. He's doing business for his partner. V'tofsu hasar, and he got caught by the police. They took him away. So v'hutzrach losses min iska, and he had to pay money to get out of the problem. So is he allowed to charge the business expense because he was captured by the police? So he says, "If it's the minig of other, so minig is minig. You go with that. Everyone has to pay." But he says, "But if you did it yourself, you can't blame everybody else. Unless, if, let's say, when they left out, let's say they have to get to the airport in time, and they left a 3-hour journey, 3.5 hours, 2.5 hours to get there. That means all four of them in the car know the only way to get to the airport on time is if you're going to speed. So the shlichus was, the job was, the hang was, we are going down a car, we're going to have to speed to get to the airport in time. So if that is the understanding when they get into the car, then you can't blame the driver for speeding, because that was doing his job. That was the obmach originally. Fakert, if he wouldn't have sped and they missed the plane, they'd say, hey, you messed us up. So what do you want me to do? I was going to the speed limits. Yeah, that wasn't the job. So if the job, if the schoira be'etzim is, let's say, an illegal schoira, that's you asked me to carriage, let's something illegal, and the police stop me, take it away, and it costs money to pay them myself, then avadi, the schoira did it to me. The job did it to me. If the job was responsible for causing loss, and avada, everything within the job, everything which is part of it, is that's part of the shutvus, and therefore all the shutvim will have to pay towards the loss caused by the shutvus, by the asik they're doing together. So if it's a case where you have to speed, that's the job, or you understand that, you know, that's the opmach, then everybody has to pay together. But apart from that, it's very hard to be moitzi from the passengers. Bifrat, the cheshbon is very simple. What's happening over here is that once a person's caught speeding, the government are giving this driver a ticket. So he has a choiv now to the government. He now wants other people to take a chrais for that choiv. Well, someone doesn't get chas machor, and they should come on an orev. So in other words, we have to make the other passengers Arabian, they've got to be guarantors on the speeding. Do they say to the driver, if you speed, we're going to cover the ticket? Even if they say that, that might not help. Maybe the Kenyan. Normally a guarantor works is that if someone says he wants to borrow money from me, I say, listen, I can't lend you money, I don't know who you are, get me a guarantor. So guarantor signs off. Then I give the money away. Then if the lawyer defaults, I can go to the guarantor, to the Orev. Why? Because the Orev knew I was giving away the money to the lawyer. He said, I'll guarantee it. I only gave up the money because the Orev said I can do it. So therefore, that Hano, the fact that the Orev knows I gave money out of my wallet to somebody else because of his word, then Achrama, he's hard to pay. But if I tell you to speed, so I'm thinking you won't get caught. I don't think you're going to cost you money. If I don't think you're going to get caught, so therefore it's on a smachta. The whole thing's a gamble. I don't think, if I know you're lending out the money, certainly you have a loss and you might not get your loss back, and Achanam agreed to reimburse you for your loss. But if I don't think you're going to have loss in the first place, because I think you won't get caught speeding, I'm just being an optimist, then it's very hard to say it's a chiv achrais over there.
If
there's speed cameras, then the driver's a pesheya, because there's a boy you're going to get caught, and then they're both shaitim. So I don't know who's shaitim. That's ridiculous. These speed cameras, like you must have plenty. Sugar, not again. Angel of the bar avera, that is correct. It's true. You have angel of the bar avera. You have angel of the bar avera. Speaking on avera, well, that's a good question. Again, so if you go, let's say, 31 miles per hour down Leicester Road, do you have to clap a chet on that? If you go 71 down the M1, just clap a chet? You probably have to because you're obstructing traffic. Never mind. So you have to use seichel. Din machus adina is certainly not a subject to be discussed over here. That's for sure. Certainly, you have to. The point is, you have to drive safely. That's number one. That's from Nishmatim Adel Nashe Seichem. Another shayla happened is when Zan will return the car to Zurich Airport, what's going to happen is the company's going to check on the car and say, oh, there's a big scratch over here. No, £500 fine. He'll say, I did nothing. It wasn't me. So listen, sir, I'm sorry, it's not on the paper. Scratch, you've got to pay for the scratch. So he calls up the shrug and says, did you scratch the car when you drove it? I didn't drive the scratch at all. There's a scratch here. Did you check the car when you took it out? Oh, they looked at it a bit. What's that? You didn't check the car properly. When you take out a rental car, you've got to make sure you check the car properly. If you don't check the car properly, then there may be a hefsid. So if you didn't check the car properly, is he chayiv? Would you say that's enough reason to say that he's chayiv or no? Listen, maybe they can have him. Maybe like, you know, what's happening over here is the car rental company is being gone over because they gave out a scratch car and now they want to charge this second driver for the scratch. We didn't do it. So if the car company is gambling money, then does he have to reimburse them? So the shot is, who is going to have the bill? If the car company decide to bill the guy in the Schwager in France who took out the car with his credit card, then he's the moitzi. He may have a problem. If they want to bill the guy who brings the car back, he pays for it, then he's the moitzi. So who's going to... So if it could be shown that he was negligent when he took it out, so a shliach who's negligent has to take a price. The case of the mechaber is, I sent someone to buy a field for me. He didn't do his job properly. So that's an ibus. You do something wrong, you got to pay for your loss. So if the chayra taking a car out without checking it, chayra is a problem mazik. That's not achrayas. If you're not taking achrayas responsibility properly, then the chayra, the pashas is that the guy in France who took the car out didn't check it properly, pashas, he would be achray for the loss. So because of all these problems, the few £100 of saving, I don't know if it's a good idea. You're going to end up with a fight. It's going to last 20 years. So if you do something like this, you've got to make sure everything is covered. Make sure Baruch and Zanvo know all the chances of loss. And if he wants to cover his losses, what are you going to do? The way around the Rebbe's problem we discussed before, is that Fel and Sanui should rent the car for himself, then sublet it to the Schwager in Switzerland, rather than being a Shliach. That kind of any Rebus problem can charge you what I want. But if you do that, then your problem, because then he's on Achroi and Hilchus Shoyal to the Pharaoh in France, not the deal of the car rental company. So you're going to have different problems with that. That's a different question. Okay, next shy. We have the shy list. Katu shy is very similar. Of Pharaoh called up, said, arranged to rent an apartment in Bournemouth from some Pharaoh in Bournemouth. Sent him £600. And 2 weeks ago, the Pharaoh in Bournemouth called him back and said, I've changed my mind. I don't want to rent it out to you. He says, what do you mean? He says, nah, I can't. I don't know. My landlord is not happy about it. I can't rent it out. He wants to back out on him. So the fellow that's from London says, well, what do you want me to do? Like, you know, I've already rented my house out to somebody else. I can't back out on them. I'm homeless. I need the house. Fellow says, too bad. Nothing I can do. Put the phone down on him. I'll send you your money back. So who's Achroy? Does he have a right to do that? The similar story happened in Manchester as well 2 weeks ago. Some boys got together to make a go away for Shabbos. They found a holiday house. They reached rent it out. And then at the last minute, the fellow had the house, says, no, I've decided I'm going to my family instead. My kids want the house. Not available that Shabbos. Do they have a right to back out or not? What's their achrayas?
Pay the deposit.
Yeah, again, well, the first gets the same. The Baruchim, yeah, also give money down. So, there is a big tumult on this. The Shaila is, like this, is when I'm renting a house, so normally typical kinyonim work, is when I rent something, so I give money and I get the item. No problem. Give money, get the item. Where I'm giving money and getting the item in 2-3 weeks, well, am I coining something now or not? A kinyan is an exchange where there's consideration and the item received in return. Let's say I give money to the store, I buy a bag of flour. So that's a kinyan. I gave the money, I got the item straight away. There's no delay over there. Where you have a delay, what's the exchange happening?
Well, if you have a choyza, the choyza means that you get it right away.
Huh?
If you have a choyza, then it means you get it right away.
If I have a contract that says that I'm getting it from, let's say, the Tesvav Ba'av, Tu Ba'av, and I sign that contract on Rosh Chodesh Av, what did I get on Rosh Chodesh Av? Because the house is not available for 2 weeks still. So what did I get? So I've got a piece of paper, so I'm getting the paper. But what zechut did I have? Is it possible to buy something which I'm not getting it now? So I have Dovah Shaloi Bola Oilam, because it's not here now. Because the house, Rosh Chodesh Tesvav Ba'av is not here now. So how can I buy something in Rosh Chodesh Av with items 2 weeks away? There's a big machloikis in Achronim. If a Dovah Shloi Bola Oilam, like that, you are able to makne or not, the Ma'aseh, the Maskon, the Pischei Tshuva goes with Minhogim. He says, the Minhog seems to be that you can do it. If a house is rented to somebody, it happens very negeah, let's say I have a sitting tenant, and then he's leaving at the end of the year, that's September the 1st, the sitting tenant leaves, so what I do is I arrange in August to get a new tenant, take over the lease. Sign with a new tenant, then it comes 31st of August, the old tenant says, I want to renew. So the landlord says, one second, I already signed up with somebody else. You're too late. He says, now I'm sitting here, I want it now. Tell the other to go away. So can the sitting tenant tell the landlord, I'm here, your new tenant's out? This is the case of Shaias Chuvas, and Mabit has a shayla on this. Mabit says the sitting tenant has to leave. It works. And the Nesiva says a hesmer in it. The Nesiva says there's an akudah dova shloi bo oilam. One case the Gemara gives is a person who says, Mashi irish me abba makna to you. Says, listen, you know, his father's very old, father dies, I'm going to get the house then, I can sell that house to you now, based on the father dying. He says that Gemara has a tzaddik works. Why? Because that's something that's inevitable. Something inevitable, there's not such a chisorn of dovah shaloi bol oilam.
No guarantee he's going to get the irish.
Dovah Shloim Olam is not, Dovah Shloim Olam is where it's vague. Personally, people often find this, you know, I want to borrow money, I'm making a chasna, yeah, no problem, okay, how are you going to pay back? Yeah, because I'm going to sell this property here, and I'm going to get this here, and I'm going to get the money in. Okay, fine, okay, do you have a guarantor? You know, people have a lot of chloimis and dreams, how they're going to make money, how they're going to pay things back. Dovah Shloim Olam, very, very poor. People have chloimis, they don't always come out. Where something inevitable, and ochram, then taka, it's much starker. When it comes to Mashiach Mi'abo, that's basically 90-80% chances are there'll be no fight about the Savah. The father taka die first, as the Kedech Ha'olam, and the usual come forth. So therefore, this has a starker taka in the Gemara, taka works. The Nesita says the passage of time is inevitable, even more inevitable. If the only thing between me and the item I'm buying is Zman, Rosh Chodesh Av, Tetuba Av, that the Nesita says Kinyan helps. There's no chisorin of Dovah Shloim La'olam, an item which doesn't yet exist, if the only problem is time. Any other factor already makes it weaker, less likely to happen. If I want to sell you the produce of my tree, well, it's true, now it's winter. Summer's going to be full of fruit, but it might not be because apart from time, there's the weather, there's bugs, tree could knock down. Things could go wrong, even though it's likely to end up that way. But because it's not guaranteed, it's a more problem Dovah Shloim La'olam. Zman is not Dovah Shloim La'olam. So therefore, when the new tenant makes up with the landlord to take over the property on the 1st September the 1st, the sitting tenant is out. He has to leave. Because it's no longer his apartment. Since the landlord had a right to rent it out, because there was no new lease in place, and he did rent it out, the new fellow has a kinyan now, once he's given money, because Mois is koine, contract as well might be koine. Therefore, once that happens, there's a kinyan, and it is now the new tenant's property from September the 1st. The other guy has no right to be there. So in this case, of the two cases of the Bournemouth house and the holiday house, I think it was in Wales, the landlord had no right. Can't back out. Once you've taken money, it was on mitzvahs mois. The mitzvahs mois gabakaka is koine, it's certainly koine, could be even it's koine the whole thing, certainly koine part of it. Once I have a kinyan on part of the house, you can't back out. And if he backs out, you can't. Take the entire as a ganav, like every other ganav. Can't steal someone else's house. Basically, you're moving into my house and you know, can't do that. How much achrayus does he have? If he says this and I can't, you know, the guy's there, I know, the landlord says this, nothing I can do about it. You know, this sitting tenant is, you know, he's 6'3", you know, dark complexion, I can't kick him out, it's the problem. Then, there is a halacha on shinyu base. It's im chazar acha sheskir lezeh. Let's say the landlord backs out, right, and he says this and I'm nothing I can do because, you know, circumstances are under which it's not worth my neck to try and kick this guy out. So the halacha is then that chayv lehaskir lo bais acher. What has to happen is the landlord has to get him an equivalent house at any cost, up to his net worth. All the Sivis explains that all the nechosim, all the property of the landlord, not just his house, but any assets he has to put in to make sure to make up the loss to the tenant. I promised the tenant a house. He had a kinyan on the house. Now he can't get it. You've got to make it up to him. So the fellow in Bournemouth, he wants to keep the house for his friends, his family. Fine. Find an equivalent house. It's going to cost you more money, make a loss on it. Too bad. Because you have a shibud. Once you agree to rent somebody a house, you have a shibud on you to make sure you get in that house. If you mess up by putting a tenant in, you cannot evict. It's your achrayus to get an equivalent property for the fellow. If he doesn't do it, you have to go to the entire. The fellow is, so the fellow told me, the fellow from London who was going to Bournemouth, explained to me that now because of that, he said he can't, he has to go now to a hotel. He's going to stay at the hotel. So once he's staying in a hotel, he might say, well listen, the fellow has to pay the, you know, it's now rather than being £1,200 bill, it's £3,200 bill. So that's really not so straightforward. Because if I, let's say, agree to, you know, I want to move into, you know, I agree, I've made up some day, I'm going to rent your house in Wales. Fine, you know, £1,200. He backs out on me, I say, oh, this is terrible, I've nowhere to go, I've rented my house, I'm homeless. I'll go for 3 weeks now, I'll go for 2 weeks instead, the duration I'll go to Spain. Fine, so fly there, flights, beautiful holiday. Can I bill the fellow? No, he can't do that. Why? Because it's a different holiday. The difference between the new holiday and the old holiday, that you can't get. I'm saying a hotel, that's like an apartment. Any difference, that you can't build in. The equivalent house, he's mechuyev to shtel to, that he has to arrange for you. But any difference, you can't upgrade your holiday just because someone else is paying for it. So Enoch Rambam, it's true that you are allowed to, he's mechuyev to, either put in the original house or give you an equivalent house. But more than that, if you want to take something else on, that is, the extra bill will be your achrayis. Tell you one other shayla we had, it's a nice shayla. It's not different, this is the Yeridea shayla. A fellow called up, a fellow called up, he was somewhere near Hawaii, I don't know, somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And he called up, well, the story was that he was looking for a mikveh. And he says, he's staying at a hotel that had a hot spring. Wonder, is that a kosher mikveh, the hot spring? He says, if he doesn't use that, he's going to have to fly to Mexico City, 2 hours there, 2 hours back. So a hot spring is a mayan. You want to know, can you rely on that for a kosher mikveh? So the answer is, you might be able to. Because it could be kosher. Because a spring, come to the pool, it's kosher. But you have a problem. How do you know it's going straight from the spring into the pool? Maybe the hotel who have the spring are pumping the water somewhere else. You know, and it's not exactly kosher. So he says, okay, no problem, we'll ask the hotel management. So the hotel management showed them what the design was going on over here. So he said, well, listen, looks like it's kosher. So halacha is, it might be kosher, but a guy has no emunus. So if the fellow wants, so he can fly me over, I'll check it out, and if it's kosher, then he can use it. So these shayas I like very much. The fellow said, thank you very much, Michael Toibis. He flew to Mexico City instead. Okay, go through.
Problem with the petrol as well.
Yeah.
Come on.